All right, I'm going to teach you a showbiz term. Cold open, you know what that is?
No.
A cold open. That's basically what we're doing right now. There's no music. It's just you and I talking. So
oh, a cold open.
Everybody knows where we... Well, you and I know. Hopefully somebody else would know that we're having some difficulties. We were supposed to be in Hong Kong. And
yeah.
We, our board didn't work because 220, 110, whatever it takes. We had no idea.
It's amazing.
So we're a little screwed up. So I'm going to ask you for our opening here. What do you want to hear? What would you rather hear? Would you rather hear Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan in Rush Hour? Or would you rather hear, because I have a few of them, and one was supposed to be in Hong Kong, but obviously we're not there, but maybe we'll be there next time. Or I have one that includes The Social Network and Kill Bill. Which would you rather have?
Well, I think I have to hear them, don't I?
Well, no. You'll hear it. I'll play it, and then we'll do the regular open. This is the cold open. We just started talking.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, how would I know which one to pick if I don't know what I like?
Well, let's just put it this way. Whatever one you pick now, you'll hear the other one on Thursday.
Okay, well, let's do Jackie Chan, because I like that. Or Chris Tucker one, yeah.
Chris Tucker. All right. So this.
So now we're live recording.
We're recording. This is.
Oh, my God.
This is the Fireworks Brigade.
Yes.
Pyro Podcast, live from Macau.
Macau, China. This is incredible. Look at his Venetian room. It's unbelievable.
October 25th, 2014. We are here. And let's do Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan from Rush Hour.
Okay.
And then we will return.
All right.
All right.
Beast, a deadly crime ring, is about to trigger an international crisis. But they didn't plan on this.
Chicken's live, okay? I like them dead and deep fried. You ever heard of Popeyes?
I want to show him a good time. Hong Kong style.
You get a massage from Chinese girl people?
Oh, I got that out. Oh, let me get her in the black. Her in the pink.
Hey, baby.
Hurry up.
Hey, what's wrong with you? You don't jump in front of a black man in a buffet line?
I'm sorry, man.
God,
all y'all look alike. There's 2 billion Chinese people here. Let one of them be your partner.
Now.
Lee!
Tyler! Don't worry. Chinese bamboo. It's very strong.
The vacation may be over.
I'm finna give you an LAPD.
But the fun.
I'm an undercover agent.
Show us a badge or something. Show it again.
Is just beginning.
Nothing touches this body but pure silk.
Absolutely. Would your partner like to be wrapped in silk as well? Because personally, I really enjoy it when couples dress alike.
I don't even know why the hell I'm even here. I ain't even Chinese. Uh-oh.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
In a word, Brian, what is this job all about?
Fire.
All right. I like that, Chris Tucker. And what am I doing here? I'm not even Chinese.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie, Rush Hour?
Yeah, 2? I saw that movie. Yeah.
That's a good one. And they're in Hong Kong with the.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the don't step in front of a black man or a
buffet. In the buffet line, yeah.
In front of all the.
Which has always been the truth. I always said it too. When you're driving in right hand lane next to a black man in a car driving next to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, be prepared. You're going to get, you know, wiped out because he's going to turn right in there. I'm just saying, I speak from experience on this one.
I don't know if we should be talking about that.
Well, I'm just saying, I've seen this Kentucky Fried Chicken has a complete effect on them.
Well, we are in Macau.
We're in Macau at the Venetian. I'm looking at the curtains over the bed. It's almost like we're in a. You know, like Tibet somewhere, like in a Arabian.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But this whole town. Well, so far the trip has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. But this hotel is just, I mean, you and I spent 3 hours walking trying to find the gym.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, unbelievable.
If anybody ever wants to gamble and they don't really, Vegas, if they're tired of Vegas, if you don't mind the 15-hour plane flight and the hour ferry ride, you know, you can you too can come here. I mean, it's, but there's, I should have looked it up, but there's hundreds of thousands of square feet of gaming, not one open spot on any table, and just, I mean, the people, there's just tons of people. Yeah.
And the shopping, I mean, you know, you go to Vegas and the shopping malls at Caesars are just kind of dead, right. Where here they're in buying all kinds of stuff. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
And then we looked at a $50,000 handmade gold telephone with no functions other than call. It wasn't like the iPhone 6.
Right.
It was just a basic phone that we had back in probably 1995.
Right.
And it was $50,000. And you said, who would buy one of these? And then we saw a Chinese guy walk in with one and he loved it.
Well, right. Well, and even the sales lady admitted, she goes, no function.
Yeah, no function. Yeah, they're proud to say no function after you give them $50,000.
If you got 50 G's you want to spend on something that most people consider disposable, you're good to go.
She said classic with no functions, which almost leads me to believe you're like an old man. Classic, but no functioning.
Yeah, but, you know, I just turned 50, so you're saying I'm classic.
Well, classic without too many functions.
You're right behind me. You'll be there.
We'll be there quick
in a few months.
Yeah,
6 months or so, you'll be right behind me. So, today is actually Saturday.
Yep,
I got the town Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We spent Thursday walking through the streets of Hong Kong. Right, and then we saw a bunch of protesters, and then we walked.
We kept walking,
yeah. And we finally found the Hard Rock in Hong Kong.
Yeah, went to a Hard Rock Cafe in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We didn't buy any drumsticks or nothing. I'm surprised we didn't pick up something. But we're still going to be back in Hong Kong, so we might do something. On the Kowloon side, I would think we would probably do something.
Yeah. And then Friday afternoon, we went... what did we do Friday? Oh, Friday we went to the other side.
Friday we went to the other side. We took the ferry boat and went to the other side for lunch. Yeah.
And then we were going to record a podcast poolside in Hong Kong at the Langham Palace up on the
41st floor.
Up on the roof of the hotel. Mm-hmm. Great view. We had pictures up on Twitter and everything. And we realized that 220 and 110 don't mix. And our normal mixing board that we use was just, it's a paperweight out here.
Yes.
Basically, you can use it for nothing but a paperweight. And so we had a scramble, and we went to Tom Lee, not to be confused with
Tommy Lee,
guy from Motley Crue, Tom Lee's Music Store, which is like a guitar center back home in the States. And we saw something there, but then I think we made the mistake of going to another place. And it was late at night, and we were scared a little bit because we couldn't find a cab that was going to take us home.
Roll down the window.
I don't know about you, but I was scared.
I wasn't scared because the country is very safe. But, I mean, getting a taxi cab was a little difficult.
Except for the thousands of protesters in the middle
of
the street.
But they're, like I say, they're really more like docile little children where they're not really doing anything,
Right.
I mean,
well,
they're having a big, study group out there in some tents, and like we talked about, I think after you lay in a tent on asphalt for so many days, you're not really in the fighting spirit. I think they're just getting paid to sit out there and protest.
Well, they're just students.
Yeah.
And didn't somebody say they had like actual library books and shelves out there, and they were actually conducting class?
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing anything other than obstructing traffic, which turned
into a major hassle.
Cost us more money because we went from a 30 Hong Kong dollar taxi ride to a 70 Hong Kong taxi ride just because of street closures and buses and everything else.
Yeah, because that's pretty much like on the main street.
Yeah, Nathan. We did, just so everyone knows, we walked down famous Nathan Road and went to the Avenue of the Stars. And we took the Star Ferry because of Star Fireworks. We could have taken the... probably our other competition ferry, but we went with the Star Ferry.
The Generous Jerry's ferry?
We could.
The Memory Ferry.
We could take a Generous Jerry ferry, which almost, it's kind of cool, a Generous Jerry ferry. But instead, we opted and we took the Star ferry, which is a much nicer boat by far, and it's also much faster than the Generous Jerry. And once again, it's cheaper, because the Star is always cheaper than its competitors.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yeah, if you're going to go to Macau, you want to go to the Star Ferry, Anyways, but I have nothing to do with the Star Ferry line, but it's a very nice ferry line.
And you get no money from the Star Ferry.
No, we get no money from the Star Ferry.
The Tooth Fairy, you get some money, but not the Star Ferry.
Well, the Tooth Fairy is good, but the money that the dentist costs you to pull it outweighs the $1.50 my mother would give me.
Yeah, and then
and what was with the 50 cents? You want change? You don't? You just can't give me $2?
Well, I think your mom was onto your scam because I think you would like just go to like the dentist's office and get all the discarded teeth and try and get more money.
Yeah,
this kid doesn't ever stop shedding teeth. What's going on?
She kind of realized what was happening when she started seeing like big teeth from the dog.
A big fang.
Yeah, big fang. You know, never take the canines. I should have took a back tooth. She would never guessed it. But you know, you start taking the fangs out.
A golden tooth. One with writing. There's actually not to digress, but there's actually like you could do that where if they're gonna put like dental work in, like a fake tooth or whatever, they'll actually like there's a thing now where people get stuff written on their tooth, like on the top or on the back, where nobody would ever see it. But if you could
never see it unless you're a dentist.
No, right? right. But like people pay extra to have, you know, like you ever see in Mexico where they write your name on a grain of sand or whatever? I don't know if it's a grain of rice, right?
I don't think that's Mexico. I think that's China.
China, whatever. So
he's been up to way too many hours here.
Oh, I was scared because we were, and then. Against my you talked me out of we're talking out of a new Pro FXA mixer because that, like we said, the other one's a paperweight with a lot of buttons, and John, you were just scared because you had no idea what all these buttons do.
These buttons are so many buttons on here and so many plugins. I'm wearing kid headphones because I don't want to spend like $50 on real headphones.
Well, right.
And so I bought the kid version headphones where, you know, it was either pink or blue. I took blue for little Bobby Buddy headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got this mixing board, which is bigger than most Chinese beds. Now, I've been in China for almost a month, and I've laid on beds smaller than this mixing board.
And you're saying it's overkill for a podcast. But
Well, we're going to start doing more of these podcasts because
when we're in China, and, you know, to be honest with you, the electronics here is... You're petting it like it's a baby.
I'm petting it because I've never, you know.
The electronics here are cheaper than back home.
This
was a lot cheaper than what we could have bought this for at home. The biggest pain right now is to try and figure out how to get it back home, which we had to carry it in the ferry today in this big orange bag that says Tom Lee, you know, the big ferry that comes to Macau from Hong Kong. But I was scared because I thought, well, oh my God, we're never going to get a cab. And then every once in a while, if I would turn around and you're not there, I would get more scared because you know your way around better. And I'm in a town where nobody knows. And you're, you know, smaller guy than me. So people aren't afraid of you out here. I think they're just terrified. Right now, today down there, I tried on a shirt that was a LLL, I guess, for 3X. Yeah. I couldn't even get it over my head.
Yeah, you needed the LLLLL. You needed 6Ls. And then...
I should have taken the hint when the guy in the store says, we have nothing here for you.
Yeah, he said, you know, I like how I didn't blame him the small size on himself. He said, well, this is made in Japan.
But
the company's in Minneapolis, which is why we went in there, because it's right next to North Dakota. Well, so we decided to go in Munsing. And try on some clothes, but he did say that they're made in Japan, which, okay, that's good. It should ship from Japan to China then to...
Well, but it wasn't American sizing.
It wasn't. Well, no, because we're in China, so this is the home of the 2Ls, you know.
Yeah, instead of 2X.
Large and larger.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it, but not large.
Yeah, I tried LLL, and I laughed out loud because I couldn't get it.
Yeah. The actual LLL became LOL.
Yeah, because, right. Yeah. So I, you know, people are afraid of me or whatever, and sometimes if I turn around and you're not there... And then if I don't have that little card in my pocket that says, take me back here, I can never get back to the hotel because I have now I understand, you know, how sometimes people get frustrated if they're in the States and they can't speak English and, you know, and you're like, I don't know what you're saying, but it was the same thing. But in reverse, it's actually, I mean, it's scary, you know, and plus I didn't have, we've been, you know, I just use American money and then we get a, but if I only have like, you know, 100 Hong Kong dollars in my pocket and I don't know how to get back to the hotel, I'm in trouble. And I turn around and you're gone and I'm like, we're looking for a cab. And it was scary, but we made it.
Yeah, I was never, like I said, I was never scared. But, yeah, you being the bigger guy, I mean, I remember in Gulliver's Travels, you know, there you start to tie you up before, even though you're not doing anything, they're tying you up. You fall asleep in one spot too long, they're gonna tie you up here. So.
We'll never make it. We're doomed. Yeah. But, well, it would have been good to record on Friday night out poolside, but we'll try and do that next Thursday or Friday.
Next Thursday. We'll probably do it next Friday night poolside there.
Yeah. We didn't want to do poolside here at the Venetian. It's, we have the bigger mixing board now and a little more complicated, but that's it. So I met you Wednesday and we've been hanging out ever since. And the trip has been, everything I ever thought it would be. It's great. It's just to experience this kind of stuff. So, but before Thursday, to get into, we are the Fireworks Brigade, so I guess we should talk fireworks, right?
Yes.
So let's get into the nitty gritty. So you started your trip.
I started my trip October 8th.
Yeah.
And left Chicago on the UA 895, which is my flight every year I take. Well, twice a year, actually. And landed in Hong Kong and spent one quick night in Hong Kong and then boarded a train in Shenzhen, China, and went over to my first stop was Luoyang in Hunan province. That's the home of the hottest, spiciest food. You know, if it doesn't have red pepper, if it's not bathing in red pepper, it's not good to them. So that's where I started.
Do you eat something special when you're out there?
A lot of bananas. A lot of bananas in the room. I always have extra fruit in the room. And
bananas give you, do they make you go or they constipate you? I don't eat bananas.
I don't think anything makes me constipated. No? I think everything's just a go-go system with me there.
Okay.
But the food is getting better in Luoyang. I was happy to meet an Italian man from Italy that opened up. He met his Chinese wife in Italy and opened up a little restaurant in China serving pizza, of all things, and spaghetti, and the greatest ribs and the wood-fired chicken wings with an actual brick oven pizza oven. You know what I mean? Brick oven, yeah, brick pizza oven.
Right.
And it was great. His name was Fabio. And then,
Fabio.
I was, you hear the name Fabio.
Right.
I'm expecting nothing wrong with the man, but I was expecting our type of Fabio looking guy.
The long flowing hair. Yeah, the guy looks like he belongs on the cover of a novel.
Yeah, right, this Fabio kind of looks sort of like a wrestler, a retired wrestler. And,
but he was a big dude. Though,
he was a big, big dude. I mean, he could really roll that pizza dough. I mean, you when he got done rolling, you felt sorry for the dough.
The
guy knew what he was doing.
He made the dough his bitch. Basically.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he rolled that dough like they owed him money, But, but Fabio was a big guy, and he wasn't like cooking. He was sitting there eating or smoking. You know, they loved to smoke, and unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he had this big, huge, white, beautiful-looking dog. Certainly not a Chinese dog. He must have took that from Italy when he came. But he imports cheese from Italy, and the pizza's fantastic. And it's a middle of nowhere, this restaurant, but it is so widely known by everybody in Luoyang that it was almost incredible. So, of course, me just speaking very little Italian, I was able to converse with him, and then he really liked me because he's like, I'm like, capisce italiano, and then it's all started, and
nice.
Yeah, it was it. So that was really a lot of fun. So then I said, you will see me again, and I think I was there like five times the whole trip because,
oh wow,
yeah, I would just have something different every time I went there. So
and the food was good.
The food was really good. So
good.
I didn't lose the amount of weight that I normally lose. I think I gain weight out here.
Well, you've never been one to pass a Haagen-Dazs stand, I can tell you that.
No, the Haagen-Dazs got me, of course, in Hong Kong, the closer we get to Haagen-Dazs in...
Well, there's one literally steps outside of our hotel.
Right outside the hotel room,
and what did I have? I had Perrier water.
You had Perrier water, yeah. Well, but you're also in the 3LLLL.
Yeah.
When I get to the 3LLL, I won't be going to Haagen-Dazs either. I'll be in the Jenny Craig line. But anyways, I know, here we go, pick on the fat. Again. We're not going to do that. So anyways, my trip started, like I say, in Luoyang, and visited, the 2 weeks I was there, a lot of factories, saw a lot of demos. We actually have a couple new lines of fireworks coming in this year that we didn't have last year.
And those would be?
Well, they're basically, it's either going to be, they're my labels, either going to be a Sin City brand or a Sky Slam brand or a Wise Guy brand. But a couple of the factories that people do a lot of dealings with, we managed to get some contracts with them as well this year. So we're going to be doing some reloads out of these factories. And with the explosions in Li Ling, there's a lot of shortage on reloads. So I was quick to make some contract deals with some factories to do some reloads. And then there's another factory, too, that does a lot of Brothers stuff. So we decided to take on that factory as well and get some products made. So and then we have a couple of new assortments coming out since we are in the gambling mecca here in Macau.
Yeah.
A couple of the new assortment is going to be called Vegas Baby.
Nice.
And so that's being made with all the Sin City labels on it. And that's going to be a really nice assortment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a lot of that, and we went to, you know, like I say, many demos, many factories, bought a lot of nice products, got a lot of nice products coming in. Most of the products, I hope, are going to be in by May 1st, and we'll keep you guys updated on the dealer show that first Saturday in May.
Right.
But nonetheless, it's been a really great trip. I fell a little bit behind in the beginning, and but I caught up on the trains and the planes. And then after I left Luoyang, I went over to Guangzhou for the World's Fair, Canton Fair, and bought some other stuff there, glow sticks and party swords and some other stuff that we do. And then from Guangzhou, I ventured down into Beihai area of China, which is southern part of China. And Beihai is always nice. They have a lot of fish to eat, which is always good. Food's not as hot. Hotels are great. So, and we visited with the Brothers factory there, and visited with my good friend Lily from Pop Pop Fireworks, and she's making all kinds of nice, fun stuff for us this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody in the fireworks industry knows Pop Pop brand is
good brand,
very good brand, and it's a brand that people mostly like that know fireworks. Mm-hmm. If you don't know fireworks, you're fooled by the other Hong Kong companies. There are other big companies, but the Pop Pop brand is one of the fireworks that the pyro guys are all, you know, they just call up asking for that. So so we had a nice chat with her and a nice demo. And then I left Beihai and I went back to Luoyang to finish up with a couple more good friends over at Hopkey, Canon, Legend, Winda. We did a little bit of business with a couple of my own agents over there. And let's see. And we did a little business with Black Cat as well. So, yeah, we got all in all, it came together pretty much at the end and pulled it all in. And as you see, I'm still working on a computer trying to get some stuff out of the office. And
yeah, even all the way on the train today. That's all you did. You had the kid jumping on the seat in front of you.
Yeah, we took the we took the ferry boat over from Hong Kong to Macau. Yeah. And you know, being that we're in a gambling city, you know, you always feel like you're going to be lucky. And so first thing I thought we were really lucky was they took us out of line and took us on an elevator down and almost to a shortcut to the boat, which I thought was really great. So that worked out great.
Yeah, see, but any time, I'm always, maybe it's me because I haven't, this is the first time I've ever been here. And like I said, I feel... I'm like so scared and not scared or just apprehensive or nervous because you're literally at their mercy. So like when somebody tells me to go into a different direction, I'm always leery because I feel like, you know, I'm going to end up like in a dark room for the rest of my life all of a sudden. I mean, you're a very trusting person.
I am a water sign. My sign is slippery when wet, but anyways, I'm a very trusting individual, you know, and I trust the Chinese people because, you know, after all, being here for many, many years, I've learned that they're very trusting, you know. I fear more my next door neighbor, you know, than I do the Chinese people. And
it's just like when you're so far away, you're just, you're 8,000 miles away from home.
Well, to me, this is home.
Here a lot. So, that's maybe it's just me because, I mean, when I'm in Vegas or I'm in Miami or wherever I'm at, even in Cabo, sometimes sometimes when I see that truck driving by with like 12 armed guys with machine guns in the back, it makes me a little nervous. But being out here makes me a whole lot nervous, just because you're, and the Chinese people are, I mean, I've never, there wasn't really one time where I felt threatened, except probably in my own head, but they're not like the warmest of people. So, the cab drivers wouldn't even talk to us. They would roll up their windows last
year. Yeah. And Chinese people are kind of like New Yorkers. They're in such a big hurry to get everywhere, big city, that they don't care if you're lost or not. They're not going to take time to help you.
Maybe that's something to do with so many people.
And it's like I said, it's a lot like New York. You got so many people, everyone's in a hustle bustle, and they're not really the friendliest. They're very friendly people. But, when you see them on the street, they're not really concerned about your, where to go. And if you're going to like stop for a couple seconds, they're going to pass you up and, almost like turn you around in circles just by brushing up against you. But, like I said, being that we are bigger, and I am very small guy, so, being that and we are bigger than most of them, they may know karate, but you know how to sit. So,
yeah, that's right.
You sit on four of them, and, the other four is going to run away. which is if anyone knows my cake under pressure. If you look at it, the sumo wrestlers are sitting on a bunch of little Chinese people.
We talked about that the other day.
It's kind of a funny label. But I'm never scared here in China. But very trustworthy. Yeah. And getting back to my story, because we always get off it. So being taken out of line and put on an elevator in front of so many other people and taken down to a special walkway onto the ferry boat, I said, wow, this is my lucky day. Mm-hmm. And then it ended right there, as it always happens. I end up getting the middle seat on the ferry. Mm-hmm. In front of me was a young Chinese boy, probably around maybe, I don't know, two or three. Hard to tell. He could have been six, because they are kind of small. But even two or three or whatever.
He was jumping.
And then I got the computer out, because I have to finish my work on the little snack tray that they give you. And then this kid's jumping up and down like crazy. Man,
I felt bad for you.
Yeah, now I realize how Jackie Chan's mom must have felt, watching him.
he was probably jumping like that in her uterus.
Oh,
doing some karate.
I'm sure. This kid is practicing.
Well, but we're gonna change your luck. And we were talking about this. You and I have been here for 6 hours now. We've been in Macau and we haven't even looked at a table. You and I are kind of similar in that. We don't really ever have to gamble together. We're not.
We work so hard for our money that really like to give it away. And
we might try something.
We'll try something. Table. But me being the water sign that I am, if I win, I'll probably pass it on into the fireworks industry to bring the prices down because the trip costs me less. This is the type of guy I am. I can't win. truly not here to make money, just the love of doing this.
What sign is your wife? Is Michelle? Is she an earth sign? If you're a water sign, she's an earth sign. Together you make mud.
That's very nice of you to say.
That's an old Rodney Dangerfield joke right there. There you go.
I want to go somewhere different. Go to the kitchen. Yeah, there's another one. So me being the water sign, and I hate the name of my sign.
I'm Scorpio. I love it.
Well, no, that's good. I'm Cancer, so what's your sign? Pneumonia. Is there anything good about, having a sign pneumonia or cancer?
I'm leukemia.
Yeah. I got Lou Gehrig's sign. This is the most, the country's riddled by cancer victims. And then, what sign are you? Cancer. So, that really increased my odds. And even when I was in a dating scene, people said, what sign are you? Cancer. And they like jump away like I had leprosy. I don't have the disease. It's just my sign, but. I just say that being the water sign,
what sign.
And I like slippery when wet. I love the way that sounds. Slippery curve,
Do you know the Bon Jovi album, Slippery When Wet? You don't know the Bon Jovi album, Slippery
I know
when
Bon
wet.
Jovi real well, but I never knew the album, Slippery When Wet.
Well, that's the big one. That was the one where Living on a Prayer, Dead or Alive, all those songs.
Oh, those are all
that's
my,
the biggest. That's his. That was his album that put him on the charts. But the album's name is Slippery When Wet. And I'm going to rock trivia, but the original album cover was a picture of just a woman, large-breasted woman, in like a tank top, and it said "Slippery When Wet" on there, and it was a wet T-shirt. And I guess it was considered too racy or whatever, and they wouldn't put it out like in the record stores or whatever. So he literally got a garbage bag, stretched it out, a garbage bag, and just sprayed water bottle on it, you know, so it was wet. And he wrote "Slippery When Wet" in the water beads on the bag, and that's the album cover.
Wow, that's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I never, well, you know,
I'm surprised you never, you're not, though.
I love music, but unfortunately, I never was able to know that much about it.
Speaking of Under Pressure, we saw the video for Under Pressure at the Hard Rock, and I was shocked you knew that one.
Oh, I knew that one because I've spent countless of years in Mexico watching that video and
over and over,
and I love all those music rock, all those concert videos.
Yeah, that was something I never knew about you. You like concert videos rather than a music video.
Yeah, music videos I never liked, and I remember back in the early years when MTV first came out, you used to watch MTV, like, for hours. You just liked all the music videos, and I never got into MTV.
Right.
I got into MTV when it started getting more like the shows I like Next and, Pregnant at 16 and some of the good ones that I, love to watch. And then, and I watch those shows because I realized that my life isn't really that bad,
No, never.
I didn't have a baby when I was 16, so already I'm doing better than that TV show.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next, we get on the bus and we date. I kind of would have liked to live that era, to try that game, but I didn't, I live vicariously through
time.
Real world now.
Although we're learning as we go on this trip that there is little, we're getting little and little.
There's little time. All I ask now is to just enjoy what little time I have left. So
let's go back to fireworks. So we were we've been together for 3-4 days now talking. The one night we talked about fireworks like all night. I wish we had microphones, but you were telling me how some of your competitors put like smaller balls in bigger. Why don't you explain?
No, you know what they're doing now, and I'm really upset about it because we worked so hard to get those nice 3-inch racks,
right?
And and we're saying, okay, these are 3-inch racks, the biggest and the best. And some people were skeptical in the beginning because years ago we had
3-inch means a 3-inch ball,
like a 3-inch shell,
in the tube.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, it's not really 3-inch because it is against the law, but it's 2.5-inch. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a nice shell, and the tubes are 3-inch in diameter 3-inch. So, but it's a 2.5-inch shell that we use, and it's really a great performer. Very hard to tell the difference between those racks that Star Fireworks buys and the ones that they shoot for professional shows. So that being said, I'm really happy that worked. Because years ago, we had this big, giant tube on a big base, and when you looked on the tube, all you saw was like a 200-gram round cylinder cake, and people said, look at this big thing for nothing, which propelled me in the industry because I stopped selling those, and I would just sell the inner firework imported from China. I would just sell that brown wrapper, and everybody loved it, and the price was cheaper. So that's kind of how we started. So when the 9-shot racks came out, a lot of people thought, oh, wow, it's going to be just like those other things. Big tube and a little festival ball in the beginning.
Right.
And then when they saw how nice they are, people are buying them like crazy. But now I get to China, and what I'm looking at here are 2-inch racks that are also 9-shot. Now, it's always been all my 2-inch racks are all 12-shot.
Right.
Because
you can
have more shots because it's a smaller shot or smaller ball.
Right.
So now what we have is we have these 9-shot racks being made in this big box to look like the 9-shots 3-inch that I shoot off, but they're not. They're only 2-inch shells, and the tubes are spread so far apart. So you're paying all this money for freight. You're fooling the public once again by saying, oh, no, this is the big 9-shot racks that you guys like, but it's really not. And
it's
that
false,
ruins
kind of like false advertising.
Yeah. So you'll notice, though,
like that LLL shirt that I was trying to
exactly. What I notice now that with these big, huge boxes that are all sealed up, now some of mine are half boxes. You can actually see the tubes, and there's big threes on them all. But these are all sealed up, but it'll say 9 shots, but it will not say 9 3-inch shots or anything to do with 3-inch won't be on the packaging. So it leads me to believe that
it's not.
It's there. Well, it leads me to believe that they can't do it for some reason, probably because false advertising. But, you know, how often do you really look at the fine print on the label? You're just looking at the fancy label and you're looking at the size because you know darn well when you go to these stores, they're going to put that 9-shot rack in with the other ones. So that kind of perturbed me this year in in China. So I said to my factory, why would I want to make that cake and deceive the public? I'm going to make 2-inch racks like I've always have. I want 12 shots. I'm going to put the 12 shots closer together. That way I can get 4 in a case instead of 2 in a case.
Less shipping.
Less shipping, which would be less price and more shots for the consumer. But, you know, and I'm not going to name names, but the big companies, I'm talking about the big companies in fireworks, they don't see the end user like I see the end user.
Well, you're there on the floor every
day. I'm on the floor and I deal with all the wholesalers. So, but these big companies, they're only worried about bottom line profit, profit, profit. And they don't care about the fireworks industry. In fact, some of them, as you know, and some of you guys listening know that who they are, they would like to see the Class C aerial fireworks just abolished because these big companies would like to see them abolished because they already control the Sam's Club, the Costco, all those things with their safe and sane fireworks. But what they don't realize, and I don't know why they don't realize that, we're going to tell them why they should realize this. Without Class C aerial fireworks, there will be no need for Class C safe and sane fireworks because what happens is the grown-ups who love fireworks are teaching their children how to play with fireworks from an early age by buying them, you know, safe and sane fireworks and progressing them, you know, baby steps.
Right.
But if you were to get rid of the aerial fireworks, the parents would lose interest and there would be no reason to buy the kids this stuff that they don't even like, you know, because there's no step up for the children. This is it. You know, like we talked about earlier podcasts, you know, smoke rockets. What are you just aggravating me?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's the same thing with these 9-shot racks. They don't care. Let's just put them on the market. They look big. We'll get more money for them. And, you know, we'll waste the money on freight because we're going to save the money on production. We're at Star Fireworks in the way I run my businesses. The best bang for the buck, give the customer what he wants, what's going to make him happy, and not something to deceive them. So what happens is when a customer is deceived, then they take it out on all of us, and they think all of us are doing the same thing, and then they stop buying 9-shot racks, which have become probably the most popular selling item in the industry. Why do you want to ruin something now?
Right.
To save $4 to $5 to $6 a case or $6 a piece, $12 a case, it just makes no sense. But, you know, that's what I've seen at the factories. So, like we had talked about, I'm going to let everyone know at our demo show, and we'll let anyone know on our price list that the 9-shot racks you see on our price list are true 3-inch 9-shot racks.
Right. So if you see a 9-shot rack, but it'll only be 2-inch shells because they're saving a little bit of money on the inside, but it's
a world of difference. Yeah. And I shot it off at the factory, one right next to each other. And of course, like I've proven to so many people, when you shoot a firework item and it's nice, you say, wow, that's pretty nice. But when you shoot it against another one, then you can compare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did the same thing today at the jewelry store. We compared a more of a see-through jade statue for the mere price of, $16,000.
Right.
And then we looked at the less expensive one for $5,000, which was very pretty, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then we just opted to get a green super ball out of the gumball machine for 25 cents.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, and that was 25 cents US.
That Jade stuff is, we got schooled. We learned.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what I try and do. I try and educate myself on diamonds and on Jade and all the things I can't afford. This way I could justify why I can't afford them. You know?
Well, I think you're more interested in Jade because one of your suppliers or somebody gave you a nice little Jade
thing, and would go
Jade and gold.
Surely nice, yes. Yeah. It's a jade necklace. Or
maybe
jade,
we'll take a picture of that and put it on Twitter.
I think so, yeah. Jade pendant. I guess you call that a jade pendant.
Yeah, yeah.
With a little gold dragon, which I think the dragon, to me, is one of the best symbols of the Chinese. I mean, yeah. I love that gold dragon.
You watch Game of Thrones at all?
No.
The dragon lady? Oh, no. You should start watching it.
Yeah.
No, anyway, but yeah, the jade was, it was cool. We learned a lot, and you can definitely tell the better quality right away.
Yeah.
Even, you were looking at, comparing to, the difference between 5,000 and 1,000, the same size, save everything. But you're like, but I like this one better. Well, yeah, it's $5,000.
Yeah.
But it looks clearer and more, the color is more crisp, I guess, is what you would say for lack of a better word.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the biggest problem. My eyes always pick out the most expensive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I can't afford that. But, there's no reason for that. With what little time we have left, who needs...
Yeah. Money's only something you need if you don't die tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And
in this town, you should... you should have that on your T-shirt.
Yeah, and at the rate we're going, we really need enough for tonight's meal. I mean...
Yeah, right.
At your age, I mean, I wouldn't even buy green bananas if I were you. I would switch all your laundry to your dry cleaning the same day service because there's no sense in...
about Rodney Dangerfield.
Making the family go pick up your laundry. I mean, there's no sense in it. I mean,
all right. So. And I learned one other thing. When we're in Fargo, I always hear about the water cakes. And, you had some and you haven't had them in a while. I think they're hard to produce or whatever. So at the end of the day, you told me that you were designing some new thing, especially for the people in Minnesota to shoot the special way. So why don't you explain those?
Yeah, we have a brand new set of water cakes coming out. There's 7 different kinds of water cakes coming.
You should really promote that.
Really promote that because they were a big hit before. We got 7 new pieces coming out, all different effects. And what I decided to do with the labels this year, and this is not just being, biased to the people in Minnesota, but they live on 13,000 lakes. You got to give them credit for that.
But and the skeeters, right?
Yeah, and the mosquitoes. So we decided to name the 7 cakes after what I asked all my employees to do a kind of a little poll and see what come up to be the 7 most popular lakes in Minnesota. So we're going to name these 7 cakes, each a different
lake series.
Detroit Lakes, Lake Ida, and Lake Cormorant, and all these different lakes that they have there.
Okay.
And then each label is going to have that name and a lake scene of that lake. And I think people are going to come in and say they might want to not even blow this off. They just might want to put it on a shelf because it says Lake Ida and their cabin's on Lake Ida and their family's been on Lake Ida. And then they might even want to pick one up for their friend who's on Detroit Lakes or any one of the other ones. So we're hoping it takes off for one. I know it will. We've proven it before with the lake cakes. So just remember that there are 7 new items coming in. They shoot a really cool design way, and those are going to be our 7 new lake cakes, all named after the 7 what we think are the 7 most popular lakes in Minnesota.
According to Google, anyway.
According to, well, not even Google, more or less like, Dino, Steve, myself, and a couple other employees. Who needs Google when you have the cast like I have?
When what you told me is Google is banned in China.
Google, you know what? I love this country for many reasons, but Google, Gmail, and Facebook are all banned. Of course, Gmail because it's Google, but that's banned from China. And if you look at statistically, you'll see that your office help is on Google and Facebook the whole day. I don't really know what gets done. I mean, I'm glad we're in a seasonal business because they finally turn off Facebook like right, June, and then we kind of catch up.
Yeah,
but Chinese government, and we don't have YouTube. We can't get YouTube in China. That's
really
We can't get really? YouTube. They got their own.
That would hurt my production of openings.
Yeah, they got their own thing, QTube or something. I forget. They got something or GooCube or something. They got some crazy name. Right.
That sounds like you trying to
order
a burger.
But I did master Shim Shan Shui. Now, I said Shim Shwam Shay many about 400 times, I think. I think Ron was getting delirious as I kept saying Shim Shwam Shay.
Yeah.
And wait, Shim Shwa Shay.
It's so, easier, and I found it's easier if you're not looking at it.
Yeah, don't look at the sign. Just go right. Shim Shwa Shay. See, it's even, you know, under pressure, it's tough too, which is, I love that. But anyways, under pressure. So, yeah, Shim Shwa Shay is the area that. In Hong Kong, that's a really popular area there. We visit all the restaurants and kind of a couple fun bars and you know, in the area. But anyways, yeah, so a lot of these Chinese words. I'm learning some, though, you know, the Fuyen and the Meinu and, you know, different ones and Ni Hao. And just enough to get myself in trouble, you know.
Ni Hao.
And yeah, Ni Hao means hello. Okay. And Ni Hao Ma is hello, how are you? And so we're learning a little bit, as we always. And it comes back to me once I'm here in China for a few couple weeks. But yeah, nonetheless, the fireworks end of it went really well. We got a lot of new cakes coming in, a lot of new product. Another probably at least 50 to 60 new items coming into Star Fireworks from a couple different suppliers. So we're real happy about that. We got the old favorites back. We got Happy Family back. We got Pyro Shine, Legend, Wind Up, Black Cat, Canon, Brothers, Beihai Pop Pop, Hop Key. I think we've named them all. Sin City, Sky Slam, and Wise Guy brand as well. And we're thinking of doing some business with Magnus Fireworks, which I thought did a really good job at NFA, and I did a demo with them, and China Sky. But we're holding off on those. We're going to see what happens. Let's give them a little chance to get their business running and see if they can actually produce anything. You know, we are going to do a little business with Hotspot, a brand new company.
That's a fireworks company?
Yeah, fireworks company. Hotspot. Like they named it after
like an
the
internet company.
They did. They named it after the hotspot that you see on your computer, you know, on your phone.
Sounds like they named it after that.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi
after
company.
The Wi-Fi thing.
Cool.
So we're going to do a little business with them as well. And we all, what I try and do is we try and give a lot of these new young companies a start. And let's see what they can do.
Everyone's got to start somewhere.
Right? Everyone's got to start somewhere. And when I was young and growing up, people gave me a start, and I'd pass on the same thing.
The best thing is if they're hungry, they'll perform better.
Yeah, and I told them, you know, we don't argue about price. I don't do that. I want good quality, and we want, you know, good quality, and we want it to be delivered on time. That's
right.
The thing. If it's not here, we can't sell it, and then you guys can't, you know, explore the, you know, cool new fireworks. So
yeah. Good.
So yeah,
you know what, we're out here now, so we're gonna do a couple more of these. So in the next few days, so we'll talk about more about your trip and more about the fireworks. As long as we're here in Macau, you want to hear a little bit about Macau?
Yeah, let's hear some.
All right, so this is from Wikipedia. So, is one of the two special administrative regions of the People's Republic of China, the other being Hong Kong. Macau lies on the western side of the Pearl River Delta across from Hong Kong, an hour ferry ride, which we learned today, which is about 64 kilometers to the east. It is also bordered by Guangdong Province.
Guangdong Province, sure.
To the north and the South China Sea to the east and south, with an estimated population of around 624,000 living in the area of 31.3 kilometers. It is the most densely populated region in the world.
Wow.
And Macau is a former Portuguese colony. It was administered by Portugal from the mid-16th century until late 99, when it was the last remaining European colony in Asia. Portuguese traders first settled in Macau in the 1550s. And in 1557, Macau was rented to Portugal by the Ming Dynasty as a trading port. Which obviously you could see, you know, with the location here. Macau is under the policy of one country, two systems, which is why those people are protesting. Macau is one of the world's richest cities, with the highest gross domestic product per capita by purchasing power parity as of 2013, according to the World Bank. It became the world's largest gambling center in 2006, with the economy heavily dependent on gambling and tourism, as well as manufacturing. Cantonese people from Hong Kong and Guangdong, in addition to the recent mainland tourism from Mandarin-speaking regions have boosted the economy of Macau significantly. According to World Factbook, Macau is the second... We should just stay here. Macau has the second highest life expectancy in the world. Moreover, it was one of the only few regions in Asia with a very high human development index, ranking 25th as of 2011. So,
amazes me the life expectancy, seeing that everybody's smoking in Macau. Yeah. I mean, we stayed here. I mean, if I stayed here for a thing, I would be, you know, I would definitely get lung cancer, I think, here.
I think some secondhand smoke we probably
did. The secondhand smoke is incredible. And now that choking and spitting, it really, you know, makes me not think they're going to live too long.
There's a lot of people who smoke in this town. That's in China per se. It just is what it is.
Now, what you didn't read in there, and many know in the fireworks industry, but many may not, the young ones in the fireworks industry. But you know, all of the firecrackers years ago, and I'm talking back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, early 80s. All the firecrackers were made here in Macau, and the Chinese government decided that Macau was too close to Hong Kong Island and decided to ban the manufacturing of firecrackers on the island of Macau. And that's kind of when it became and that's when they started doing other stuff with it and shipping ports. And then it became, of course, like you say, the mecca for gambling. And now, I mean, God, we drove through the streets. I mean, this place, you got the Wynn Hotel, you got Venetian.
Oh, they're just huge.
You got Hard Rock Hotel. I mean, the Venetian here is 10 times larger than the one in Las Vegas.
And we walked every square foot of it.
My God, we're still finding things we didn't know that even existed, you know. Man. 30 restaurants, 4 pools, over 300 baccarat tables.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a great place, but at one time it was just a bunch of firecracker factories, and the Hong Kong people made a lot of money because they would take the hour ferry ride over, you know, place their orders for firecrackers, go back to the Hong Kong, sit there and play mahjong, and mm-hmm. charge us in the early 80s about $45 a case for firecrackers. And now we're lucky if we can get $7.99 a brick for firecrackers.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
Yeah, things have really changed.
You know, the other day.
So, firecracker, we're paying in the early 80s more than we're paying now for firecrackers.
That's great.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But
And the temperatures here are crazy. I mean, it's... I think here the low is 54 in January, and the high gets up to 90 in July.
Yeah, 89. This was one of the hottest Octobers I've seen all throughout China, and every region of China was great. This is the best production weather we've had without the rain, and not real hot, but very warm, and people like working in it. The problem is that, you know, we suffered about a loss of 3 weeks over this explosion in Liling.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Liling factories are not even open yet. They're still closed, and they're changing the classification for artillery shells to be made at certain factories. You have to be like a level 1 or class A factory to do consumer artillery shells, which I find almost amazing, you know, that they're putting these restrictions on. So, but let's put the blame where it belongs. A lot of big companies buy their artillery shells in Liling because it's a much cheaper quality artillery shell. It's a much cheaper product to make. But what happens is it becomes like the Wild West over there, and that's kind of how the explosion happened, just trying to build too many shells, trying to race production, trying mm-hmm. cut out steps. And unfortunately, once again, we put them through that by knocking down the price and then... What happens sometimes, you lack safety in this issue and quality.
Doing something you shouldn't do.
And, you know, 13 people died from this, and now the Chinese government is really enforcing a lot more of these factories. So that being said, just to let you guys know that there will definitely be a shortage of artillery shells in the market by some of your bigger companies. We're not going to name who they are, but they're going to be missing a lot of their shelves because those big companies, as you know, fight for those cheap factories and cheap prices,
right,
and cheap quality. And unfortunately, right now, that's where they're all being made, and there's nothing being made there. So they're scrambling around to get other factories, like where I build mine, and they're going to Beihai, but they're going to pay a lot more for it. And said they're going to, so they're going to charge you a lot more for them. And they're not going to be able to get them done because we already take up a lot of them factories because we don't buy inferior products. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but unfortunately, it's a shame that that explosion had happened. It's really not good for the whole industry in general.
No, no. Well, but, you know.
Shit happens.
Just doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can't rush everything, and you're trying to do it, and you're trying to get the orders out, and, you know, unfortunately, it happened. Yeah.
All right, a little bit more about Macau, and then we'll cut this off because we have places to go and people to see.
Oh, my God, yes.
Starting in 62, the gambling industry had been operated under a government-issued monopoly. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
The monopoly ended in 2002, and several casino owners from Las Vegas attempted to enter the market with the opening of the Sands Macau. In 2004, Wynn Macau. In 2006, gambling revenues from Macau's casinos were greatly prosperous. In 2007, Venetian Macau, at the time the second, now seventh largest building in the world by floor space, opened its doors to the public, followed by the MGM Grand Macau. Numerous other hotel casinos, including Galaxy Mega Resort, opened in 2011, and plans for a $3.9 billion complex that will be known as Lisboa Palace is expected to be completed by 2017. So this place is just... We were talking about fireworks names, which brings me to my last point. I wanted to give you a homework assignment, but we were talking about naming fireworks, and we were thinking of one to name the Macau one, like, I don't know, Macau Wow Wow or something. I don't know.
Yes.
We got to come up with a name for a Macau firework. If anybody has one, they can email us or follow, you know, Twitter, do whatever, and give us some names for a Macau firework, a Macau-themed firework, since you have the Vegas ones, we could do a Macau one.
Yeah, we're going to do a Macau one. And yeah, we'd like to see more. I would like to see some more emails coming from...
I'd like to see any, yeah. We need to get some.
Well, we got a few. You know, but yeah. I mean, we like to see more come in, and it's always fun to go over some things that people want us to go over. I mean,
let's like sweeten the pot. If anybody sends us an email, we'll send them something.
How about we give them a $10 Star Fireworks gift card?
There you go.
Sent to their address, free postage, of course.
Of course.
We're not even going to charge you $12 postage and handling for that $10 gift card because that's not how we operate.
No.
But yeah, we like to see some more emails come in and give us some topics to talk about as far as fireworks. And, you know, we can talk about everything. It's just, unfortunately, me and Ron have been friends for so many years. Well, I mean, it's a fortunate thing, but unfortunately, in the respect that we can just sit here and talk all day long.
And I don't think anybody wants to hear us.
So no. we would love to talk fireworks as usual. And I hope we did talk enough about fireworks this one here.
Oh, yeah, we did a lot.
And we liked this. And,
Let's give ourselves a topic for next one. So your creative juices are flowing. You've been creating fireworks. You've been looking. You've been doing all these demos. You've been seeing different things. And we know fireworks is a big business in 4th of July, obviously, Independence Day. And it's also big in New Year's for Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So a holiday that doesn't really ever get fireworks. Nobody would ever think of it. But a holiday that's coming up is Halloween.
Halloween,
so
yes.
So I'm going to ask you... For our next podcast in 2-3 days, why don't you come up with not a name? Maybe you and I will talk about a name, and we'll come up with a bunch of names for what you would name a Halloween themed cake. Let's do a cake, a 500-gram cake.
I already have them.
We'll talk about them later, and what kind of effects you would use.
Mm-hmm.
And what Halloween thing? You have scary ones, but let's think of a specific one for Halloween to shoot off on Halloween.
Okay, well, if you come to Star Fireworks...
I do. I'm there every year.
You will... Well, this is the first year. You will see the pumpkin-looking fountain that we have.
Oh, so you have a new one.
We have a new one coming
in. Oh, so let's talk about that next time, and let's see if we can talk about some, like, what effects you use. Like, is there orange effects?
Of course.
Okay, so we'll talk about Halloween effects and the Halloween fireworks and maybe some names. We'll try and come up with some names for next time. And I also got some... I went through, like... and I went through every single song I could think of that has something to do about China in it. So you can listen to bits of songs, see if your rock and roll knowledge. There's actually a lot of songs that have the same name, like Mellencamp and David Bowie both have a song called China Girl. Did you know that? So we can listen to stuff like that, and we can talk about that. So that's what we'll do for the next time. And I asked you in the beginning in our cold open, which you learned about a cold open. Mm-hmm. I asked you if you wanted to hear Chris Tucker or you wanted to hear Social Network and Kill Bill, which you'll hear next time. So now we have a choice of closings. We have South Park, Family Guy, or Simpsons, whichever one you want to hear.
I think Family Guy.
Family Guy.
But I think we should give people a little taste of next podcast. We'll be doing the next podcast from Singapore.
Yeah.
Which
Raffles.
Raffles Hotel and
five
Casino.
Five star, I've heard.
From, yes, five star hotel and casino. The only way Johnny Starr likes to travel is with fives. And so anyways, five-star hotel raffles from Singapore, which I think is probably one of the most beautiful cities and most architectural design city.
I can't wait.
So, you're going to be looking forward to seeing that. And we're going to hopefully do a podcast maybe from the pool.
We're going
to
try.
And definitely try. And we're going to be visiting Singapore, and we'll be talking more about fireworks as I'm completing my list of fireworks.
We just have to get you less afraid of this new thing.
Yeah, that the board is pretty cool, and the different sounds it makes, I really like it.
You ready? Here we
are.
We could put you, the cathedral. Go ahead.
Oh, the cathedral. Yes, I like the way that sounds. Yeah.
Johnny was giving church earlier.
Yes, I gathered you here today. Yes, I love the sound of that cathedral. That is just really sharp here.
Yeah, why do I picture you if you were like in the cathedral? If you were giving mass, there would be some wine and hosts missing or something.
Yes. Oh,
what was your saying? We're not criminals. What is your saying?
Oh, okay. Well,
wait. You could do that. You could do that as a sermon. Go ahead.
Yes.
I've gathered you here today.
I gathered here today to tell you that the reason a lot of the ATF agents could never figure me out. It's because I always told them I'm not a businessman conducting criminal activity. I'm a criminal conducting business. And this is why. So this is part of our sermon. So let's take it from here. Johnny Starr has gathered you here today to educate you and to say we will move forward. And what is that favorite theme from Star Trek? We go where no man has...
Go boldly where no man has ever gone before.
Ever gone before, yeah. Boldly. I like going boldly anywhere,
Yes.
And
let's turn off your effect. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's where we go boldly where no man has ever gone
before.
And, yes.
So I like that. We get now. Anytime you want to get on a soapbox and speak from a cathedral, we have that.
I'm telling you,
we have the capabilities right here in our hands.
I mean, I just hope that a Chinese person doesn't want to try and sleep on it because it's so big.
All right. Well, for that, we will sign out.
Well, at my ending, I would like to close.
Do you need more cathedral, or are you good?
No, okay. No more cathedral. Okay. But I always say, shoot for the moon, and you might wind up on a star, Johnny Starr. Signing out.
Goodbye.
Coming up, handsome mustachioed man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
But first, Asian reporter Trisha Takanawa is on hand for the opening of Manhattan's newest luxury hotel.
Diane, I'm standing outside the Park Barrington Hotel because they don't allow Asians inside.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sumo Tonight, brought to you by Asian Tricks.
Chewy Wabbit, tweaks are for kids.
You shall.
I'm not really sure what to do here.
Boy, you put on weight, Jackie Chan.
You're watching CBS Asian Town.